All right, good morning, everybody. It's so good to see everybody here this morning. If you are in class out here this morning, sorry you get to listen to me a little bit longer, but that's okay. So, yeah, there's always things going on in the world. So what's the big thing going on today, right? If you're a football fan or not, it is Super Bowl Sunday. So whether you are or not, it's hard to escape the news or the talk of Super Bowl Sunday, whether you're a fan of one team or another or neither. I don't know what you're going to do this afternoon, not watch it probably. But I wanted to do a lesson, obviously, that kind of drew from that a little bit. This is not going to be a Super Bowl sermon, don't worry. It is not a sermon about football. I think there are some lessons that we can take from thoughts about sports in general a little bit, and maybe about football. But what Brother Joe read for us here earlier from 1 Peter 5, 6 through 9, I'd like to repeat that. 1 Peter 5, 6 through 9, "Therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Now, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary or enemy, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world." The devil's just not after you, he's after everybody. And this verse talks about him being the adversary. I love the song Brother Jesse led before the lesson. Verse 3 of that song, "When your enemy presses in hard," he's our enemy, and he's constantly pressing on us. He's trying to break us down, and he's trying to win you over to sin and to himself. And that's what we need to be doing. We need to be resisting our adversary, because we don't need to fear him. We need to resist him. So when I think about what's going on with the football game, all right, you've got two teams that are about to go at it. Now, they're just not going to just show up and play a game today, right? They've been working for 2 weeks to get ready for this game. They've been practicing. They've been planning. They've got, you know, if you watch sports or not, they have a game plan in place. They've got everything lined up, probably the first several plays scripted. Here's what we're going to do. And they're prepared. They're ready to go today. Not just showing up just to do it. They have prepared for 2 weeks. So, unfortunately, we've had to listen about the Rams and the Patriots for 2 weeks. That's unfortunate. But they've been preparing for 2 weeks. They're going to have a strategy in place to beat their adversary. Are they not? Because if they don't, it's probably not going to go well for them. So when we think about our spiritual life, we need to have strategies in place in our Christian life to overcome our adversary. Because guess what? He's got a game plan against us. So we need to make sure we have strategies and a game plan in place so that we can defeat him, right? So I want to give us a few things to talk about and to think about that we can implement in our lives to create our own game plan, give us some strategies that we can have in our battle against Satan, because our adversary is after us, and he's looking to beat us. So we need to defeat him. Now, I could have listed a whole lot of things here, but I just have a handful I'd like to talk about, and so I'm hoping these things will, you can apply these things to our lives. Again, as we repeated in 1 Peter 5, 8 through 9, you know, we need to be sober, be vigilant, because he is a roaring lion seeking to devour us. So we need to resist him, being steadfast in our faith. So, one of the strategies that we can have in our life, we talk about this battle that we face with Satan, is that we need to study God's word. That needs to be a strategy in our life. That needs to be part of our game plan. Because where do we find instruction to be able to defeat Satan? Where do we find out about his weaknesses? And where do we find out about how we can strengthen our lives? Through God's Word. We study the Bible. We can study to grow, study to become stronger. In Psalm 119, 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Is it hard to walk around in the dark? I mean, when it's really dark, like pitch black dark, and you don't know where you're at, and you just walk around, or even if you know where you're at, that can be a tough thing, because you're like, ooh, I know there's something here in this room, and I'm about to kick it. And you might move, and you wind up kicking it anyway, because it's dark and you can't see. Well, you know what? This world's full of darkness, and we need to have the light of God's Word shining our path, right there in front of us, lighting our path, so that we know the steps that we can take to defeat Satan, because he's got traps everywhere, right? It's all over the place. But we need the lamp and the light of God's Word shining that path, helping us to direct our steps. Also in 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, all of it. And what's it all good for? It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. It's got all these things. So, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work, thoroughly equipped to defeat Satan, thoroughly equipped to be able to walk through this life and to be able to overcome our adversary. You know, for a football team, they're going to study and be prepared for battle. So we need to study our own and be prepared for battle. We always need to be studying, always need to be growing. So when that battle takes place, we're prepared. You do that, if you're in school, you're out of school, whatever. If you can remember to be prepared for a test, hopefully what'd you do? You study, right? So to be able to be prepared for the tests that Satan sets before us, we need to study so that we can be ready. And that light of God's Word is what we need in our life. The second thing I'd like us to consider is to be a worker for the Lord. So the football team's getting ready for this game here today. Like I've already said, they practice a lot. They put in a lot of work. Every day they were out there practicing, working hard. They've been doing it all year long. They did it in the preseason. They did it all summer. They've worked hard to get, to this point. Why do they want to work hard? So they can be successful. We need to be workers for the Lord so that we can be successful in defeating Satan. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The work you do to get prepared to battle Satan is not in vain. That labor is not in vain. Those football players, all the work that they have done, was it easy? I doubt it. It was probably really hard. Those guys aren't big and strong for no reason. They've worked hard. They've trained hard to be prepared. We need to have our spiritual muscles ready to go. We need to work hard every day through our study, knowing that that labor that we're putting forth is not in vain. Because if we put the work toward God in our life, we can be steadfast. We can be immovable and always abounding in that work. So when Satan pushes against us, we can push back. And we have that strength to be able to do that. So, again, always abounding, being a worker for the Lord. It's not just always talking about going out and doing work, but it's working ourselves. Think of it as working out our spiritual muscles. Abounding in that work, because that can help us to become steadfast. 2 Timothy 2:15, be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The work we put forth, going back to our first point, was studying. The work we put forth there helps us to accurately be able to apply the scriptures to our life, to be able to go out and to teach others, And then again, to be able to defeat Satan and the obstacles he puts in our way. What did Jesus do when Satan tempted him? Quote to Scripture, right? Everything had Scripture. Everything had a purpose with that. He rightly divided that word of truth. He applied it and was able to defeat Satan when he attacked him. So being able to work for the Lord, be diligent in that work, be diligent in that study. All of these things put together helps us to be able to defeat Satan whenever he is ready to attack us. Next thing I'd like you to consider is to be constant in prayer. Now, as far as a football team is getting ready to get ready for their game, there's a lot of attention to detail. So I thought about putting up this big schematic of plays that football teams has, and there's a lot of arrows and diagrams and stuff that looks like a bunch of gibberish to me, but whatever it is, when it comes down to it, there's a lot of attention to detail being put forth to be able to make this one play happen. What you see on the field if you're watching the game, it looks like it worked, it didn't work, it might look simple, but there's a lot of moving parts going on there. There's 11 guys on each side of the ball, and each one of them is moving with purpose. And there's a detail that they have studied that says, I need to be here to do this or be over here to do that, block this person, whatever it is. But there's been a lot of attention to detail that's taken place in the preparation for that game. Now, how we're going to apply this to being constant in prayer is, there's a lot of attention to detail that we need to have in our spiritual life. And to be able to do that, we need to be able to focus and to be able to meditate on all those details. And for me, one of the best times that I can meditate and really focus on things is through prayer. Because I think at that time, more than any other time, you can sit or stand, or whatever it is, and you can quiet your mind, hopefully, and to be able to just be one-on-one with God. And when you do that, at least for me, a lot of times, that opens my mind to many details that maybe sometimes I don't always think about. And to be able to really focus on something that maybe I'm falling short in, or I need help with, or I need strengthening in. Because what I just said there, a lot of those things are the devil, again, attacking us. And whenever we can focus on those things that the devil is trying to attack us with, maybe it's something that we're weak in. Being able to go to God in prayer and meditate on those things, to me, that is a perfect time to be able to do that. And such a powerful tool that we can have in our Christian life. Don't underestimate the power of prayer. God hears our prayers. He answers our prayers. But to sit down and do that is so much more because of what it does for us as well, to help clear our minds and to focus on those things. Philippians 4, 6 through 7, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. We hear verse 6 a lot, but it's verse 7 that I kind of wanted to go with there. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. To me, that is such a powerful phrase there, because we don't always understand what's going on in our life, or what's going on in the world, or what's going on with other people. And sometimes that can be a downfall for us. But when we can go to God in prayer, pray about these things, that peace of God can be a part of our life and fill our hearts, because that peace of God can surpass all the understanding that we can ever have. We're not in this alone. The battle does belong to the Lord. He is on our side, and he understands way more than we'll ever understand. But to go to God in prayer and to talk to him will help us focus on the details of our strengths and our weaknesses, to have our help, to guard our hearts and minds through Jesus Christ against the attacks of our adversary, the devil. Colossians 4:2, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Don't just do this once in a while, or just whenever something's bad. In good times and in bad, in strength and in weakness, continue earnestly in prayer. Whether it's asking God for help or being thankful for the help that He's given you, be constant in prayer. Another strategy, work as a team. So those football teams out there getting ready to play. As much as some players like to think it's all about them, maybe, but the greatest success a team can have is when all the members of that team work together for the common goal, correct? So that's their strategy to make their team successful, is everything works in harmony as a team to accomplish that goal. So, as a family here, I consider everybody here a family. I consider us a team because we are in this together. There is no unimportant part of my team here. All of my teammates here are important to me. I need every single one of you. So if you don't feel that way, then that's my fault because I want you to feel that way. Everybody here is important because we're all on the same team. And our goal is to make sure every one of us here gets to heaven and we defeat Satan. And the more people we can bring onto our team to get to heaven, the better. So every piece works, every piece fits this team. And so a success to defeat Satan is us working together and being a strong team. Hebrews 10, 24 through 25. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You work well as a team when you all get together and practice as a team. You learn as a team. You get stronger as a team. So everybody being here together, it's such a strength to me, especially when I stand up here and I see everybody that's here, or when I'm sitting down there or in the sound room, it doesn't matter. When I see everybody here, it just lifts me up. It gives me strength. That's how we become a stronger team. We come here, we work together, we're around each other, we get stronger together. Ephesians 4:16, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Like I've already said, every one of you is a part of this team. There is no unimportant part, no insignificant part. Everybody is a vital part to this family, to this team. Because when every one of us does our part, then what's it say our work is? It's effective. We have effective work when we all work together. And when we have effective work, what happens then? Growth. It causes growth of the body. We have edification. We have growth. We get stronger. And when we have a strong team and the devil starts to attack, what can we do? We can defeat him. Because again, we're not in this alone. We're working as a team. And so what a great strategy that we can have as part of our Christian life is to be able to have our team around us, have our family, to work together, to have strength in each other, every part doing what it needs to do so that we can grow and bring others to Christ. Another strategy is to have trust in God. We put our trust in a lot of things sometimes, but sometimes we fail to really put our trust in God. You know, a football team, generally, if I remember right, has about 53 players, give or take, and then a bunch of other assistants and trainers and all these things. But when it comes down to it, there's a head coach, and the head coach is calling shots, and everything comes down from there to the assistant coaches, to the players. There's a chain of command. The best way a team works is to put trust in that coach, that he knows what he's doing and he's got a plan in place. And when they have trust to follow that plan, then success can happen. If the players don't trust that coach and trust in the plan, you think they're really going to go at that full steam ahead, put in all the effort that they need to put into leading up to that game? Or they're just going to say, well, yeah, you know, I really don't agree with what he's saying, what he's trying to get us to do. So, I don't think this is going to work out anyway. So you get to a game and it's just, you might get a half-hearted effort, or the team's not working as a whole, things break down, and you see a pretty sloppy game. I've seen plenty of those, and maybe that has something to do with the coach, the players, I don't know. But when players have a trust in the coach and in the plan, good things can happen. We need to have trust in God and in his plan, because when we do that, we're saying, God, my ways aren't best, your ways are best. And I'm going to trust in your ways, and I'm going to follow your ways. So when Satan is ready to attack me, it's just not of my own accord, but I have God on my side. And the trust I have in him and his word will go a long way to be able to defeat Satan. Jeremiah 17, 7 through 8. I love this verse. It's not one normally used for sermons, but the picture that this verse paints is amazing to me, so I wanted to use it. Jeremiah 17, 7 through 8. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes. But its leaves will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. I mean, you can see this tree that's planted by the waters. So where is it sending its roots? It's sending it to those waters. So that no matter what happens externally, whether it's heat, drought, wind, whatever, but because it's planted those roots down in the ground through those waters, it doesn't fear. It trusts in those waters. When we have our roots planted in God, digging deep, no matter of the external forces against us by Satan, the attacks that he puts on us, we have our roots planted strong, so that we can withstand the devil, withstand the attacks that he puts against us, so that we're not going to topple over like that house that was built on the sand. We're going to have that strong foundation because our roots are deep in God. So the imagery this verse gives you with those roots, just digging deep, and it can withstand. That's what we need to have as a strategy in our life, to be able to dig our roots deep into God. Not just on the surface, but dig deep. All the things we've talked about up till now, all these things that we're trying to apply to our life, we got to dig deep. It just can't be on the surface. You've got to make it part of your life. Apply it. Make it. It's this. My dad always gave me this imagery. You know, when you can lock hands like this, it's like a chain, and it just doesn't want to break. When you can sink your roots deep into God and apply that to your life, it won't break when Satan comes to attack. So having trust in God, trust in the Lord, that's what that means. Just dig deep. Make the Lord the most essential part of your life. So when the storms of life come, you're not going to blow over. Satan's not going to topple you. You're going to stand strong and stand in the Lord and continue to bear fruit for him. So go along with that thought. Another strategy is to draw strength from the Lord. You know, when athletes are preparing for a season, they go through a lot of strength training. You know, they're in the weight room, lifting weights, doing whatever they do to get ready for the next season. They're constantly doing physical training to be ready to play whatever sport they're playing to accomplish the goals of having victory. Well, what do we need to be doing as Christians? We need to be continually strengthening ourselves through the Lord. Psalms 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the Lord is our light, the Lord is our strength, who do we need to fear or be afraid of? Now, because again, we've got our roots in God. We've got His strength. We continue to draw strength from Him. He's our light. He's our strength. We don't need to be afraid of Satan and what he can do to us. But we can be confident that we can overcome him. Because fear can tear us down, but strength could keep us moving forward. Can it not? Who am I going to be afraid of if the Lord is my strength? Because in Philippians 4:13 we read, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Sometimes we feel like I can't overcome this hurdle. I can't overcome this obstacle in my life. I can't overcome the weakness that I have here that I'm dealing with. Yes, you can. You can overcome that through Christ. Christ being the strength in your life that you need. But you have to make Him the strength that you draw from. Because if you're looking to draw strength from the world, that's not going to cut it. Draw strength from the Lord. We talk about the battles that we rage with Satan. We do those every day. And we can defeat Satan. And when we realize that, you know what? You've defeated him in one way or another, in a weakness that you've had, or a temptation, or whatever it is in your life, be excited about that. I was able to overcome what Satan just threw at me. What can that excitement do to help you go down the road? It can help you take on the next obstacle that he throws at you. Because he's not going to stop, that's for sure. He's going to keep coming at you. But be excited about the victories that you have against Satan. Guess what? Whoever wins the Super Bowl today is going to be pretty excited. There'll be a lot of confetti floating around. Everybody's going to be happy. They're going to be excited about that victory. We need to be excited about that victory. Because when it all comes down to it, when we defeat Satan, and then we stand in judgment, are we going to be excited when God says, enter in, good and faithful servant? I'm going to be. I don't know about you guys, but I think we will all be excited about that. But the victories that we have in our life, the success that we can have against Satan when we apply these strategies to defeat him, let's be excited about those things. James 1:12, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Yep, we got a lot of things we have to endure, but we can do that, and we can overcome, and we can have a victory. And being excited about that is a light that can shine to many people that are around us. It can help us spread the word. 1 John 5:4, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. It is the victory that we can have when we have God first in our life. We draw strength from Him, have faith and trust in Him. We can have that victory. And that's a victory I want all of us to have here. As I've spoke, as us being a team, I want us all to have that victory. Because I want to see you all in heaven. I want my teammates there. I've got one more thing. And that's to commit to Christ. We can do all these things, but if we don't commit to it, then it's just half-hearted. And a lot of times when you do something halfway or half-hearted, what winds up happening? It just kind of falls off the cliff here, doesn't it? And it just kind of falls by the wayside. The next thing you know, you're thinking, yeah, I used to do that, but what happened? I stopped doing that. Or I stopped thinking that way. You need to be committed to Christ. A team, whatever sport it is, is committed to the process. If they want to have success and they want to have victory, they need to commit as a team and as individuals to the process of what the coaches are saying, to their strategies, so that they can be successful. We need to commit as Christians to Christ. We need to commit our lives to Him, commit every step, every strategy, so that we can defeat Satan, so that we can get to heaven. Because there is no halfway. Halfway is the wrong way. Okay? We need to be all in for Jesus. He needs to be a total part of our life, and we need to commit to Him. In Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 1, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. And then jumping down to verse 17, and whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Set your mind on things above. When you talk about setting your mind, it's just not, you'll think about it every once in a while. No, you're setting your mind. You're setting your path. You're setting everything in your life to the things above, not on the concerns of this world. You're setting your mind on Him. Because whatever you do here, you need to do it in the name of the Lord. And if you've committed your life to Christ, that's what you need to be doing. Because in Galatians 2:20, we read, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. We have to live in this world. Yep, that's just life. But you know what? We can dedicate this life to Christ. We can set our life for Christ. Do everything that we can in our life to overcome Satan, all of the things he throws against us, because with God on our side, we can have that victory. So, I extend to you an invitation. What have been your strategies in your life so far to overcome Satan? Or has Satan chipped away at you and overcome you at times? It happens. Satan's pretty strong with that. I hope I've given you a few strategies to think about, and you can add more to your own. I could have had another set for sure. But understand, we have all the tools we need in God's Word and God on our side to defeat Satan. He is our enemy. He is our adversary, and he is coming at us like a roaring lion, as we started this sermon out with. But guess what? We can tame him. We can defeat him. We can overcome him. We can have victory against him. But we need to have everything in our toolbox ready to be able to do that. Having God's word, having God on our side, having our teammates with us, the strength we can provide for one another. If Satan has got you down, now's the time to realize I need to get up. I can defeat Satan. I can overcome whatever it is that's getting me down. And if you need the prayers of the congregation to help give you strength and give you encouragement, we can do that right now. I've got a hug waiting for you. That's no problem. Come on up, we can do that. If you want to stand there and pray while we're singing this song, do that. We're going to sing the song, Christ Lives in Me. Mean what you sing. I have been crucified with Christ. Christ lives in me. I'm dedicating my life to Christ. If you've not dedicated your life to Christ, do so now. If you've not been baptized into Christ, make that right now. Don't delay. If you've fallen away from Christ, don't delay. Get Christ back as your number one. Not Satan. Put your life back on track. You can overcome. You've got the tools. So let's make it happen. Whatever your needs are, let us know. Let's stand and sing.